I'd like to start by reading a song. number 114. We thank thee, O God, for thy spirit to guide us in these latter days. We thank thee for sending the gospel to lighten our minds with his rays. We thank thee for every blessing bestowed by thy bounteous hands. We feel it a pleasure to serve thee and love to obey thy commands. When dark clouds of trouble hang over us and threaten our peace to destroy, there is hope smiling brightly before us, and we know that deliverance is nigh. We doubt not the Lord nor his goodness. We proved him in days that are past. The wicked who fight against Zion will surely be smitten at last. We'll sing of his goodness and mercy. We'll praise him by day and night. Rejoice in his glorious gospel and bask in his life-giving light. Thus on to eternal perfection, the honest and faithful will go, while they who reject this glad message shall never such happiness know. And I do want to thank the Lord tonight for the opportunity of being here. I know I didn't give a testimony this morning, but I've had some thoughts in my mind this week to thank the Lord and just remind us of how fast time is going by. I look back and it was Memorial Week. 48 years ago that we moved here, and that just doesn't seem possible. It's like you almost turn around and it's things have went by. But I know that we've been blessed greatly by coming here. I know our daughters had the opportunity of things that we didn't growing up, of Sunday school, young people's groups, trips with the young people's groups. I think that was all blessings to them and Bible school. I know it was a blessing to us for them. And when I told my brother I wouldn't need prayers tonight, I made it a matter of prayer this week of what the Lord would have me to bring out, and I kept praying about it, but it just seemed like nothing was coming. And I looked, and I had in the chair or beside me in some papers a sermon by someone else. I don't know how I got it, but I thought I would read it tonight, so I'm not sure how this is going to work out. But I know I need your prayers in it. And it was and it's a sermon by a brother, Marvin Ely, but it also has in some a vision from another or a minister, and he titled it "A Great Need Within the Church," and then he's got condensed, so I'm not sure if he wrote this or somebody else, but he's got his name on it and that. Condensed from his sermon, April 23rd, 1989. So I'm going to start, and it's in Acts, he's starting, 2nd Acts, 17th verse. And then it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I know we need his spirit to be with us. I know it is our desire to be serving the Lord. And then he reads from Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth it. Sorry, my voice isn't very good today. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Throughout time, God has always foretold of events before they came to pass. In many instances, this has been by the prophets, but there are some times when God has used visions or dreams to foretell events. Not alone are events foretold by mankind, but mankind has also received direction by prophecy, vision, or dreams. He goes on, one of the most referred dreams or visions is the one that Lehi had. And it's in 2 Nephi. And we know that is the tree that represents the love of God. I'm just going to read a few verses here, but he's got wrote down 48 through 83. I'm just going to read from 48 down. And it came to pass, I had prayed unto the Lord, and this is Lehi, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass, I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. It came to pass, I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. And I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed the whiteness that I had ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof, and it filled my soul with such seemingly great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it. For I knew that it was desirable above all fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along and was near the tree of which I was partaking of. And I looked, and behold, from whence it came, and I saw and heard thereof a little way off. And at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sarah and Sam and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whither they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice, and they should come unto me and partake of the fruit, which was desirable above all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I know that's what we would want to do. It's a partake of that fruit. And it tells of trying to get Laman and Lemuel to come, and they wouldn't. Going down to 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter. And it tells of Nephi having this vision. He saw a tree where fruit was desirable to make one happy. When he partook of this fruit, of the tree which his soul was filled, and with exceedingly great joy. This represents the love of God, which is shed in the hearts of the children of men. To reach this tree, one must walk the straight and narrow path and hold fast to the rod of iron which extends along this path. The rod of iron also extended along the bank of a river, which river is a representation of the depths of hell. 1 Nephi 1:24. So it is very important to hold on, hold fast to the rod of iron, for it can lead a person to the tree of life. The rod of iron is a representation of the word of God. And I know that is our desire, to be holding on to that rod of iron, following the commandments, the scriptures of the Lord, having the Lord in our life, relying upon him. Maybe I'll just read a 68th and 69th verse there in that chapter. And it came to pass, I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, and which led to the fountain of the living water. And I also beheld again that it was a tree. The tree was a representation of the love of God. And our brother has here, even though temptations of the devil arise to cloud our way, if we hold to the rod of iron, we will still be able to walk the straight and narrow path, which leads to the tree of life. And again, I know that's where we want to be, in that straight and narrow path, holding on to that rod of iron. Now our brother goes on. I remember a sacrament service of a Phoenix reunion, Phoenix, Arizona reunion, which service took place on November 30th, 1986. Brother Don McIndoe and I, myself, Brother Ely, were in charge of the service. During the service, Sister Ruth Willard bore a testimony from the back of the room where she sat in her wheelchair. She admonished us to keep the commandments and hold fast to the rod of iron. And again, I know that's where we want to be. And our brother said, this is profound advice for us. For us. And he goes on, at this time, I would like to reference the following vision. On December 28th, 1988, Evangelist Placido Cayoque awoke early in the morning while praying over the day's activities. A vision appeared before him. He first saw his family, then all his brothers and sisters in his congregation, which represented to him the church at large. He was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church. With this awareness, the vision faded, and as he pondered the significance of what he had seen, there came into his mind, one by one, a list of needs for which he thought we should be praying. He listed them together with a few scriptures which came to his mind. There were eight needs which came to the mind of our brother Placido. I will take them up one at a time and make scriptural references to them. Most of the references are what Brother Placido listed. The first one is, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the vineyard. And I know that we are doing that. We are making a matter of prayer for the ministry. And this is in from Matthew 9:37 and 38. Pray for the Lord of that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the vineyard. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In Jacob 3, verses 137 through 140. Jacob 3, 137. It's on page 186. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mights. For behold, this is the last time, and I shall nourish my vineyard, that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored with them. And they did obey the commandment of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And again, I know that's where we want to be, following the commandments that the Lord has given to us, knowing what we would be in need of. Number two, pray for the responsibilities and the well-being of the pastors and the ministry. And going to Colossians, fourth chapter of Colossians. He's got 2 through 4, but I'm going to go read 1 through 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We can read the importance praying for the ministry, that God would open a door of utterance to them, that they could speak the mystery of Christ. Also, Paul was concerned that he might make it manifest as he ought to speak. And I know that we need to make that matter of prayer. Number three. This is in Mosiah 2, 25 through 27. No, I'm sorry. Not sure how he's got it wrote here. Mosiah 2, Number three is pray for the responsibility of the parents to God and to their children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the Lord, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's Ephesians 6:4. I know that is our desire. Also in Mosiah 2:25 through 2:20, Mosiah 2:25 through 27. King Benjamin gives advice concerning parental responsibility. He states that children should not let their parents should not let their children go hungry or naked, and that they should not suffer their children should transgress the laws of God and to fight and quarrel one with another. And I know that that is our desire, that our children are doing the things that are right and pleasing before the Lord. I know I look back at myself, and I may have quarreled a little with my sister. But I know it's something the Lord doesn't want us to do. I'd like to also read in 2 Nephi 11. This kind of goes with this next one, number four. I'm going to read it first. 2 Nephi 11:48. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for the remission of their sins. And I know that our young people know that they can go to the Lord for this. Number four is pray for duties of our youth toward God and their parents. In Ephesians 6:1-2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with love. And I believe that is where our children want to be, to obey their parents. Also, the children are to honor their father and mother. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, the advice is given to remember now that thy Creator, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Number five is pray for our little ones, their duties to God and to their parents. In Colossians 3:20-21, we can read the following advice. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they should be discouraged. Number six, pray concerning the physical and spiritual sicknesses within the church and for those outside of the church. This is wisdom given in the following scripture from James 5:14-16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The fretful, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is important that we do pray for one another, for there are physical and spiritual sicknesses within the church. Likewise, we have a special duty to pray for those outside the church. And I know I look at myself, I've went through a lot of different things, and I know that I have been blessed by administration. I know I've been blessed by the prayers of brothers and sisters. And I think it's a blessing that we have that opportunity and that we need to take advantage of that opportunity. Number 7, pray for the work of God in all the world, that others will be converted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we are doing that now. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. And also in Timothy 2, 4. We have a statement that God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I know there's a John 3:16. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I know that is where the Lord wants, to have all men saved. And a quote, like the quote from Alma, the 4th chapter. Alma 4, 5, and 6, verses 5 and 6. I mean, may I start with 3. And also came to pass that whosoever did belong to the church, that they did repent of their wickedness and humble themselves before. I mean, those who were lifted up in the pride of their hearts, the same were rejected and their names were blotted out, that their names were not numbered among those of the righteous. Now I would that you should understand that the word of God was liberal unto all, and none were deprived of the privilege of assembling themselves together to hear the word of God. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of their souls and those who knew not God. And I believe that we have that opportunity that we can come to the Lord in fasting and prayer on behalf of our welfare, and the welfare of those around us and others. Number 8 that he has here. Pray for the endurance of faith and Christian unity in service to God. And the second Nephi. Verse 29, I think I'll read all four verses. And it says here in Nephi 13:29-30. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And I believe I have felt that love of God and of all men from our brothers and sisters. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my brethren, beloved brethren, this is the way, there is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Our brother has wrote here in that scripture, we are promised eternal life if we press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13 says, was Matthew 20. I'm sorry. Going down to Colossians, the third chapter. And he's got wrote here, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. After Brother Placido had his vision and his eight needs that came to mind, he made known his experience to his congregation and asked them to join him in a committee of Christian energy. A considerable number of young people and adults have done so and meet each Wednesday afternoon to unite their prayers for specific needs. The leaders of the committee meet as well Sunday morning to pray earnestly for their needs. If our brother Metzgos are dedicated to this great need within the church, should not we be equally dedicated and likewise make earnest prayer in behalf of these needs? And like I said, this was given in 1986. I'm not sure if they still do. But I know that we have that opportunity of coming to the Lord, to pray before the Lord. fast and to pray. We have that opportunity if we take the opportunity on Wednesday nights to do that. As we had this morning when we have our sacrament services, we have that opportunity to pray unto the Lord for the needs of each other and those around us in the world. We know they are great. We have that opportunity at reunions to come together and season of prayers. At conference, we have that opportunity, again, if we take it, for fasting and prayer. And I know that we have that opportunity each day in our homes, for that opportunity to pray for one another, for the world, for the needs that are around us. I know I stumbled a little bit here in bringing what our brother had given, but I pray it will be of help to us in this day and time that we are living in. We see so many things happening around us in the world today. We know that we need the Lord in our lives. We need to be following the scriptures, the commandments of the Lord, having that love for our Lord, and love for one another, doing the things that are pleasing before Him. I'd like to close with reading a song. Number 295. My times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand. Why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. Thank you.